ladies and gents. Who do you want?
There's obviously what's been made of the how you've had to reshape the midfield with Jackson Frego in there. Has that been one of the most difficult things you've had to try and restructure at any time as a coach?
It's had some challenges, but we're certainly not winning the hit out. But you know, at the same time, it can sort of look like with Jacko that you know, we're not necessarily getting the hit out, but what he's given us is just terrific competing ability on ground, and it's given us another midfielder, really. So when the ball hits the deck, he gets after it, he gets his hands dirty, and you know, all we're after him to do is just make sure that he can sort of try and contain the ruckman as best he can, because when the ruckman start throwing the ball around, it's a little bit harder at ground level to try and defend that.
Did you basically, as soon as you had to go to that option, is that what you sort of planned on doing straight away? Because it's not something that can be done quickly if you haven't been practicing it.
No, it hasn't. And you know, I guess that forces your hand a little bit because you do have to practice it even more. So when you're starting off a negative base, then you've got to try and work your way to an advantage somehow. And thankfully, the guys have embraced that challenge, and they've got you know, they've taken the fight to ground level, and you know, and we're competing, and that's the best way we know how, and that's how it should be. And it's not bad grounding for us as midfielders to try and fight that little bit harder to try and win our own footy.
Well, so how have you seen Blake's got a bit of criticism during the year, perhaps unfairly? How have you seen his form this year?
Oh, no, slow start. I think that he would be, he'd be quite honest and open with that, that he did struggle a little bit early, played, you know, probably a variety of roles to start off with, bit inside, bit outside, still had a lot of exposure and centre square bounce, but I think his last couple of weeks has been fantastic, and, you know, he's led exceptionally well. And that's, you know, that's probably overused a little bit, I must admit, when you're a captain. Of course, you've got to lead all the time, but I think the way that you know, he's got the players really focused and you know, and really taking the challenge has been an impressive part of his leadership over the last few weeks.
What's turned it around for him?
Oh, sometimes it's about persistence, and you know, if there's one thing that you know, the good players do, is that you can want to change your preparation, you can want to change the way if things aren't working, and you feel like you've got to either do more or you know, or you don't get encouragement, so you do less. And that's the worst thing you can possibly do. You know, when you're struggling a little bit early, you just got to keep believing. You've got to believe in your method. You've got to believe in your preparation. And you've got to keep following it through. And it will only turn if you have that approach.
So it's back to basics for him, basically.
Not so much back to basics. It's just reiterating that what he does well. And, you know, it's a pretty good standard. And you sometimes, yeah, we've got a lot of people that are pushing on the outside. It's, you know, you think you need to change things, you think you need to change it up. But in fact, it's got to be just he's a pro. He's a true pro in his preparation. He does everything possible. There's not another thing he could do. And sometimes it's just about backing that in.
So did you help him a lot? Because obviously you're a great captain and played a midfield role as well. So did you help him a lot through that period?
Oh, well, he's in the midfield, so of course you're going to have chats to him. But, I mean, as my main message to Travis was to reinforce that he prepares himself exceptionally well, and you know, and when he does that, he gives himself a chance to turn it around. But if you drop off on that or think you've got to do more, I mean, it's nearly impossible for Travis Boak to do more. There is another guy who puts in the work at this football club or even that I've seen. So, you know, so sometimes you can try and deviate what you already know. And when he's got it, he's got what he needs, and he just needs to go out and execute, and he's done that very well. And I think his leadership has been fantastic in the last month or so.
Just on the midfield you were talking about before, Michael, to have to concede the hit out on many occasions, how much of a disadvantage is that?
Well, it's proven not too much of a disadvantage, I guess. We've had our challenges. Nick Nat throwing the ball around in the centre square bounce is a genuine challenge, that's for sure. So you are holding your breath a little bit, I must admit. But I think the thing you always want your midfield to do is to start with that competitive mindset. I mean, the umpire is starting with the ball, so no one has the ball. So it's about the team that can seek the advantage. Now, whether that's in the air or whether that's on the ground, we'd like both. But we don't necessarily always get that in the air right now, so we've got to make sure that happens on the ground.
Trego has had a mammoth job the past few weeks. He was on light duties today, and that's been a few times in training sessions. Are you just monitoring him to make sure he's ready to go for the weekends?
Yeah, it's very much a management sort of thing. I mean, he's going from, I don't know as a defender what sort of contests you get involved in, but he's upwards of 90 contests going into the ruck, and when you haven't done that before, there's there's an element of resilience you need to be able to bring. And he's pretty tough. There's not many tougher than him, so he'll suck it up. But at the same time, we've also got to be smart on the week-to-week basis and how we manage him through. But it's a difficult conversation sometimes, because when you talk to Jacko, it's like, we're not winning the hit out. But what he's bringing is a wonderful competitive mindset on the ground, and that's been a real positive for us.
Mike, what's the update on Homsch, Broadbent, and Crocker?
I think Homsch will be a couple of weeks, I'm led to believe. So he'll be a couple of weeks. Cracker.
Did he get hurt today at training?
I don't think so. No, not that I'm aware of.
And
no.
Broadbent's okay?
Yes, he's good. He was just ill after last week, so it was one of those bugs you get for 24 hours and he wasn't available on the day.
How do you replace Homsch? Does Carlisle come in there?
He'll be one of the options. Certainly Logan Austin's the other, so... we'll have to make that little adjustment. Obviously, Bobby's had a couple of games under his belt now, so he'll definitely come into consideration, as will Logan.
Brad Ebert obviously did a good stopping job on Jack Viney last week. Is that a role that he might get on at Pendlebury or someone this week?
He may. We've made a little bit horses for courses. That he's had roles most weeks to be able to play those roles, but that one was probably a little bit harder than we've instructed in the past, just because of the genuine influence that he's had with Viney in terms of his clearance numbers and just the impact he's had on Melbourne. So we made that a little bit tighter than normal, and he did a great job. Got a few punches in the face slaps in the face because of it. But that's the lie of the land for guys who play in that position.
This week with Pendlebury and Treloar, I guess. Especially Penrith, who's been in great form past month. Is that something that you look at closely, whether to apply a tag to him?
Yeah, well, the challenges don't change. If you had to see, we've had a turnaround in that area of the ground, and if I had to say there's an area of the ground that Collingwood have really turned it around, it's been in their midfield also. And Pendlebury has spent some time playing in different positions, but when he's played in the middle of the ground and is fit and healthy, they just look like a different side. Treloar has been fantastic throughout the whole season, so his performance hasn't ebbed and flowed, but he's certainly getting a lot more mates, and they're certainly, when you look at the sides that they've played against in the last couple of weeks, they've competed really well against some pretty elite midfields.
What about Chabinga? Couldn't say that.
No, I think he's on that management probe. I mean, we get into the middle of the year and everyone starts to go on a bit of a personal management plan. So it's a long campaign. A lot of guys have had big minutes, and depending on what they've actually done across the last game might determine how we prepare them for the following week. So I think he just fits in that category.
Michael, of course, a couple of probably performances haven't been up to what you guys would expect throughout the year, and everyone focus goes on Ken, but also as you've been around the block as a coach and a captain,
yeah,
as the support staff to Ken, do you guys feel that heat as well? How do you sort of work that dynamic to spread the load when the focus is on?
I think the recognition, despite what gets communicated externally, is that our focus never changes on the fact that we understand that it takes everyone to get the job done. We understand that there's pressure that might get laid on individuals from time to time, but, whether they've been a coach or whether they've been captain, it's actually taken everyone and to be able to do their job, but also stick to what we need to do. And that's what that's all we've focused on, is just is sort of sticking together and not here to lay and blame one over the other. If outside people want to do that, then go for your life. But us as a group is what gets through it, as far as I'm concerned.
A bit more like you were saying with Travis, I suppose, that you all know what works for you guys. About just staying to that and head down.
And that's the hardest task, is to, when there is pressure externally, you ask yourself the question whether you're doing the right things, and we're always asking us. No one asks that question more than what we do. No one's analysing that more than what we do. And we'll always constantly review and preview about our style and our method and how we want to play, and are we tough enough in the contest, and then we'll go train it, and then we'll persist, and we'll also follow through on what we believe in. And to me, that's what gives you the certainty to be able to get through it.
Michael, Collingwood lost four players against Western Bulldogs last week. They probably won't play none of them this weekend. Are they gettable this weekend, given an injury crisis that they've suddenly got?
I don't ever see an opposition that way. I never see an opposition as gettable more than another. The fact is that they'll be replaced. And, you know, when you start to turn your form around, again, it doesn't rely on... I'll go back to the individual thing. They are missing individuals, but it's the actual group that's turned it around for them. So, and it's likewise for us. So we've just got to focus in on the group. There's certain things we need to do in certain areas with either our ball movement or as even us as midfield group. But in the end, we're all got to buy in together to get it done.
And with Ebert getting certain roles in the past few weeks, why have you picked him for those sort of roles?
Oh, well, he's done those in the past and done them quite successfully. So, you know, he's a genuine competitor. He's got that big body about him, physicality-wise. And if anyone can keep up with him, well, good luck, because he's an elite runner.
I'm just going to ask about this in Melbourne today. They're talking about a draft lottery for the bottom four clubs
that
don't lottery. Yeah, I have an opinion on that. Paul Rees reckons that's a pretty good idea, but...
I think that's the natural way that it's starting to head, isn't it? Yeah, to be able to sort of throw that open up a little bit more. There'll be always conjecture, no matter. You know, one part of me leans towards the fact that we'll start talking about the bottom four. You know, all it does is the focus shifts, but I like the concept of the fact that, you know, four go into a pool and we find out at the end of the season who's the beneficiary of that number one pick.
Just tanking?
Well... I think that there's the natural perception is that tanking exists, whereas you talk at Clubland, and every single week we go out to win.
So you don't believe any club does tank?
Oh, I don't think so. I think you'll find there's a very fine balance between player management, and which is what you go into, and fair enough, because it's about being smart with your list and. Always assessing at least about where you're at, and if you can't influence the system, influence what the season's going to, how the season's going to unfold, then you've got to look at your list and you've got to look at where you're at, and I guess that's where player management comes to the fore. But I think the genuine concept of being able to have a lottery towards the back end now, whether they need to change the fixture for that to happen, I think there's a bit of talk around that, or even if they just throw that bottom four in a lottery, I think it's got some genuine merit that they should entertain.
Speaking philosophically as well, just about the ruckman, do you think that you need a mid-season draft or a pool that you could pick up a ruckman?
Yeah. Well, I love the mid-season draft concept. I have for a long time, and I think it's got some genuine merit. How that affects the lower competitions, I'm sure it's a bit of an inconvenience for them if they're going to lose their best player. But you know, we tend to get a bit landlocked with our list. And, you know, it rewards, I think it'd be a great reward for players that go back who might just miss out on being drafted, had a good year the year before, and then all of a sudden the start of the season they have a great, you know, the halfback flanker that's playing at Glenelg who, you know, has had a great start to the year, and, you know, all of a sudden Richmond have had a few injuries in one of those key areas and he can fill that void for them. I think it sort of can open up the pathway and I'm all for that. So, you know, if there was a mid-season draft, there's some difficulties in it because you've got salary cap and, you know, who gets pick one. And so there are some challenges within that. But as a concept, it should be something we should entertain.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thanks.
No worries at all. See you, guys.
See you.
See you.
Thanks, Lloyd. Good day, Nicky Green.